The Speed Up Sound with Kyle Meredith.
If you were a 120 minutes on MTV obsessive like I was, you'll remember the band Velvet Crush. Their 1994 breakthrough, Teenage Symphonies to God, featured the song Hold Me Up, which got some great buzzbin play on the channel. These days, the duo spend their time backing Matthew Sweet and his band, but with 2016 marking their 25th anniversary, they gave their landmark album the deluxe treatment with a standalone disc of demos, lost takes, and live cuts called Preteen Symphonies. I gave Rick Mink a call to get all of the details and a little reminiscing. I'm Kyle Meredith at The Speed of Sound.
And we never really broke up, really. Right. I mean, we just play together. Yeah, and we'll play again, hopefully, now that our aim is to, like, you know, start doing some shows here and there. We used to have a really big following in Japan and a really big following in Europe, so, you know, we could still go over there and play some shows. And mainly it would just be fun to get together and hang out and make, you know, play songs again, because we used to really enjoy that. But, you know, we never really broke up. We never sat down and said, okay, this is it. I moved to the West Coast from the East Coast, and that made it, you know, that sort of made it seem like we broke up, but we never discussed, like, this is the end or anything like that.
So I should back up. So mostly what you're doing right now is, are you only playing with Matthew Sweet? Are you doing other things too?
Well, at this point, right now, mm-hmm. I helped to manage a record store here in California called Freak Beat Records, which is a really great collector's store. And then I play with Matthew when he tours. And then Paul, my partner in Velvet Crush, he lives in Japan half the year. His wife is Japanese. So he's over there. We'll talk about doing Velvet Crush stuff and hopefully get up and running again in the next year or so. But other than that, I mean, for years I toured with a lot of different people. I, like, did studio work with a lot of different people. But I just sort of curtailed all that now for the last year or so. And it's mostly just being at the record store, which I love. Because before I even played music, I was a record collector. And it never really stopped. I mean, you know, I have the disease.
You hear so many musicians that part of the reason they wanted to be in a band was to pick up girls. And I thought, I wonder if that's true for any power pop guys, because it was almost always exclusively just a dude thing.
Yeah, I mean, we did get tired of looking out in the audience and seeing all men all the time. I mean, that it was a little disheartening, just because we wanted to appeal to as many different kinds of people as possible. Yeah. But whatever, you know, you play to who you play to. So, but power pop, yeah, it is a lot of guys. Yeah. I think a certain kind of guy, that kind of music really appeals to them. Yeah. I mean, I like a lot of the power pop stuff, too. And I did growing up. I listened to a lot of those bands, you know, kind of religiously before anyone really knew who they were. Back in, like, the 70s, I mean, a band like Big Star, they were just so completely obscure.
Right.
That nobody... You know, literally nobody knew who they were.
Preteen Symphonies, mm-hmm. which seems a collector's item in itself, but these were released before.
Correct.
But they've been out of print, so now you guys have decided to put them back out, right?
Yeah, we had a little label that we ran for a while called Action Music, which was run through a company called Parasol. A good friend of ours owned the company, and we would do, like, vanity releases. And I think most of our really hardcore fans, managed to get the stuff. But with the new release, with the Omnivore release, Preteen Symphonies, they have a higher profile than Parasol ever had. So we thought, you know, when the idea came up that we should maybe do something, we thought it would be a good way to get more people and also younger people who weren't around when we put the original releases out. You know, we'd put something together and hopefully try to get to some people that we hadn't reached before. Because the one thing I do know is that power pop for the longest time had a really bad reputation in terms of it being nerdy or whatever, but that's changed. I mean, there's a lot of young kids who are really, really seriously into it, and they don't know that it's supposed to be uncool or whatever. They just like the music.
There's two that didn't make the record that are in the demos, right?
Right.
Is Turned Down and Not Standing Down, is that right?
We had a bunch more, too, that we never even, like, recorded or demoed. There's a whole bunch of songs that, like, we played for a while, and then they just sort of fell out of the set list.
Well, I am so happy that this did come out, and that it is hopefully maybe going to lead to something else, you know, music-wise for you guys, because...
I think it will. I think it will. You know, it might take a little while to get up and running, but it'd be super cool to get back in a room with Jeffrey and Paul and Tommy Keane and just bash through the songs again, because we used to just have a blast.
That's Rick Mink of the band Velvet Crush, as well as the Matthew Sweet Band. You can find Preteen Symphonies anywhere music is sold. And for more of my interviews, head to Facebook and Twitter at Kyle Meredith. And thanks to Christopher Allman for co-producing and editing this episode. From the studios of WFPK in Louisville, KY, I'm Kyle Meredith at the Speed of Sound.